Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
There's a new kid in town when it comes to instant payments between friends, family and contacts. It's called ZipPay, and the three-pillar banks hope that it will provide an alternative to the near monopoly that Revolut has in Ireland when it comes to sending money or splitting bills or just keeping your children financially topped up. But is it too late, and will Revolut simply shrug? Brian Hayes is the Chief Executive of the Banking and Payments Federation Ireland and is on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Joe.
Now, remind us how ZipPay will work.
Well, ZipPay, it's an exciting new product in effect and service that has been provided by the Irish banks, AIB, Bank of Ireland and PTSB. It's a person-to-person mobile payment service that is being launched from today and being rolled out across the week, and effectively 5 million account customers across those three banks will be able to send, receive and make split payments. Your listeners will be aware that the clunkiness around IBAN numbers, which every account has in the country, whether you're in Revolut or any other bank in the country, everyone has an IBAN account. And what the technology does now is effectively connect up those clunky IBAN numbers with your mobile address book, allowing you to, as I said, send, receive and make split payments. So from today, customers of AIB, Bank of Ireland and PTSB will see the ZipPay emerging.
That was an unfortunate slip there, Brian.
So they'll see ZipPay and Revolut, because ZipPay and Revolut will still be there. That's the reality of it.
So no new apps, I think, is the key attraction for a lot of people. But there is a limit of €1,000 in terms of how much money you can send. Also, can you send money to pay bills, to pay your electricity bill or your broadband bill?
No, it's person to person, Joe. And because it's person to person, effectively you're splitting money up or sending money around. It's not actually paying bills per se. That might happen at some point in the future, but the first iteration of the scheme is really around paying people and transferring money. And that's, I think, the unique feature of this particular service. We've also made it very clear it's an open service for everyone to join.
Revolut could join it in theory.
Absolutely. And Nexi, which is effectively the proxy database provider, they provide the technology for this. And any other bank, any other service provider that has an IBAN number and customer numbers could actually join. So I do know, for instance, that there are discussions underway with other entities to join. There's a potential that this could become a really significant Irish platform, because there's 5 million customers in effect from day one. It's a very significant development, and ultimately others can join. And I think that's part of the beauty of the service, that it can become a very significant Irish platform.
Will there be any charges? Are you charged per transaction, or is there a monthly kind of charge, or is this all thrown into general charges?
No, there's no charge from the perspective of the three banks anyway. That's not to say in the future, if a new entity joins, it might choose to charge. But no, there's no charge from the three banks. It's part of their service to their customer base. And I think they've made a very significant investment. That's really the point here, Joe, that AIB, Bank of Ireland and PTSB had in effect provided the funding up front for this. But it's an infrastructure that everyone can gain from. And that's, I think, the real success of the scheme, hopefully, in that it will provide this platform. And we can then extend it to other services. I think there's a very ambitious roadmap, ultimately, for not only for others to join, but potentially for merchants or business to take part in the scheme or to take part in the service. As you're probably aware, there's a very big push on at an EU level to try to get EU interoperability of payment schemes and services up across the European Union. We've learned heavily from the mistakes that have been made in other countries and other jurisdictions, and that's why it's taken a bit longer. We've learned from that, and we've also had a lot of consumer research behind the service. And that research shows that ultimately people want to not have to transfer money from one app to the other or download a new app. So this is within your app. And I think that's the beauty of the service.
Now, the Savings Investment Union is on its way down the tracks. It's going to hopefully discourage the normal traditional saving and encourage investing, i.e. more risk-taking, potentially investing in startups, etc. That probably won't be a great thing for the banks, because we may be saving a little bit less with them and taking more of a punt with the trading platforms.
Well, I think we've made our views very clear about this. We very much support the Savings and Investment Union, and we support the new infrastructure and the Savings and Investment Account, the SIA. All of the banks have been publicly supporting that in their discussions with government and collectively as an industry as well. It's really important that we encourage retail investment. There's a real risk for people if they simply do nothing with their savings, that there's a risk that they will lose out in the long run. Banks have very significant distribution arms all over the country. They're very keen to be able to offer these products if and when they're produced by government. I think the key test for government will be around the tax efficiency of the product, but also the infrastructure. And of course, banks, because they are in every community, have distribution networks, have vast customer bases, will be very keen, either themselves or indeed other entities that they own, to provide these accounts. So we'll wait and see what the government produce. Certainly we and other entities across the sector and other industry groups will produce their own view as to how we go forward in this. But we're very encouraged by the government's push to try to get something going here. There's room for everyone here. And of course, within the deposits, which are important to banks, of course, and are productive, there are very significant offerings and choice in terms of term deposits.
Yeah.
Simply leaving money there without putting into a term deposit is not an efficient way of using your cash.
And very briefly, to encourage this investing, I presume you want capital gains tax to be cut.
Listen, I think the reality is that the capital CGT, particularly within the economy on investment, needs to change. We did see some small improvements in the recent budget, down from 40 to 38% for ETFs. But I think we need to see further progress. And I think ultimately all of the capital taxes should be around the 33%. That's been our view for quite some time. The real way that you're going to incentivize retail investment is an efficient tax code. And I think there has to be reductions on the tax side, right, on capital gains, yes.
Thanks, Brian. That's Brian Hayes, Chief Executive of the BPFI.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. Helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.